Hello, Talking Golf Getaways fans. Welcome to Scotland Week with Mitch and Darren. We're honored to share a week's worth of conversations with some of our best friends from the world of golf, talking about what is undoubtedly one of our favorite destinations. But before you dive into the golf, the history, the lodging, the scotch, and oh yes, the haggis, we wanted to offer a few words of thanks. First, we wouldn't know all that we know about Scotland, nor have been able to experience so much of that wonderful country without the great people at visitscotland.com, including David Connor and Alan Grant. For everything you want to know about taking a Scotland vacation, make sure you check out visitscotland.com. And we can never say enough about our friends at Bonnie Wee Golf. David Harris and his father Colin, a true Scottish gentleman if ever we've known one, who's also the operator of theluxurycoach.com. If you're planning a trip to Scotland, Colin is so much more than just your driver. He's a passionate golfer, a traveling companion, an experienced golf tour guide, and most importantly, a great friend. And once you've traveled with Colin Harris and the Luxury Coach, you'll never want to explore Scotland any other way. With that said, welcome to Scotland Week. We hope you enjoy listening as much as we enjoy talking about the home of golf.
Do you eat, sleep, and breathe golf? Do you love to explore? And most importantly, do you just want to have some fun? Well, then welcome to Talking Golf Getaways with Mitch and Darren, brought to you by Pacific Gales. Now here's the guy with all the questions, Mitch Lawrence, and the guy with all the answers, Darren Bunch.
Welcome once again to Talking Golf Getaways with Mitch and Darren. I'm Mitch Lawrence. The seaside golf capital of the world in Myrtle Beach is where I call home. Darren Bunch out there in California. Darren, it is Scotland Week, and I don't think there's many places that you and I would rather talk about than Scotland, and what a great guest we have to do that with us today.
Oh, we've got our friend Rue McDonald from Scottish Golf Podcast, and I got to be honest with you, Mitch, I'm here in Bakersfield, California, and it's a little bit Scottish this morning. So just kind of looking at the weather, dreaming about Scotland, and I figured we might get started with a little card do. It's when we're recording this, it's 9 a.m. my time, noon your time, and 5 p.m. Rue's time. So I figure maybe a little bit of card do for the morning. What do you think?
All right, here it is. The bottle is open. Mine is already poured in my I'm drinking it out of my glass from Brora, which I know Rue will appreciate also. I can hear you pouring. So cheers, Rue. We'll get to you in a second, but we have to do this first. Oh, that's good. I feel like I'm on the first tee at Cruden Bay.
That's right.
All right, we're glad you're with us at golfnewsnet.com on iTunes Podcasts and Audio Boom. And, of course, you can find Darren at Getaways Golf on Twitter, at Golf Getaways on Instagram. You can find me on both, at Mitch Lawrence, L-A-U-R-A-N-C-E. Before we get to Rue and the beauty of Scotland, we want to mention a really great connection that we will have here in the States to Lynx Golf and to Scotland, and that is Pacific Gales. And they are our sponsor this week for Scotland Week. It's a perfect fit. It's being planned along the coast of Oregon, about 30 minutes south of Bandon. And Darren, you and I, how excited are we?
Oh, very excited. Obviously, I've been to the site. It's unbelievable. And, you know, what's even better is that you can be part of making Pacific Gales a reality with the Pacific Gales Founders Club, which we believe just might be the best deal in golf. It's a lifetime of Lynx Golf for you and your family in an unforgettable location, plus a host of other benefits and VIP treatment at what some are calling the most exciting golf project in America.
For a lot more information, just go to pacificgales.com. That's G-A-L-E-S. There's also just some stunning site photography from our own Brian Orr, golf photographer extraordinaire. Darren?
Drink.
Make sure you follow Pacific Gales on Twitter, at Pacific Gales, on Instagram as well, and on Facebook as well. You can start dreaming about America's next great golfing adventure today. Okay, here we go. As I said, it is Scotland Week. We love talking about Scotland, and we're thrilled to be joined by our good friend Rue McDonald, who is near Cruden Bay in the Highlands. A little bit about Rue. voted the Golf Tourism Scotland Young Person of the Year in 2013. I guess you've gotten a couple of years older since then. Rue, we're going to take away that young. We're just going to make you the Person of the Year. He's the host of Scottish Golf Podcast. And if you haven't listened to it, you should. Fantastic amount of information, Scottish golf and travel. More than 100 episodes in the books and counting. He and his great co-host, Graylin Loomis, do a fantastic job of teaching us all about what Scotland and Scotland golf is about. You can find Rue at Scottish Golf Podcast on Twitter and Instagram, at Scottish Golf on Snapchat, or you can go to what is truly a fantastic website, ScottishGolfPodcast.com. Rue, it is a pleasure to have you all the way from, I think Darren and I would say, our favorite golfing place on the planet.
Well, thanks for having me, and thank you, Mitch, for another glowing introduction. I know you you make a point of trying to do your best introductions possible, and certainly nice to hear those kind words. So I look forward to chatting Scottish golf with both of you today.
Well, we mean it when we say it. They're not just introductions for the sake of intros. And we've gotten to meet you, we've gotten to spend some time with you, and we've gotten to follow what has been a tremendous start to what I know is going to be a long career for you in terms of the game and all the people that you bring to Scotland to enjoy it. Let's start with pretty much your office, and that would be Cruden Bay. We got, Darren and I and a bunch of our friends got to experience it summer before last when we visited the Highlands. Tom Morris and Archie Simpson involved in the course voted the 2015 Scottish Golf Tourism Award for top course in Scotland in its price category. And I think if everyone could start, as we did that trip, getting in a car or a bus and driving to Cruden Bay and getting out of that and stepping out and seeing the view, they would be absolutely thrilled. What a great place to call home.
Very lucky to call it home. And it was really growing up playing Cruden Bay with my father that really got me interested in pursuing a career in Scottish golf tourism. As a young teenager, hearing voices, American voices, glowing about the golf course certainly piqued my interest in wondering why people would travel across the world to my home course. So it was really, that was the catalyst of getting into it all, and certainly count myself lucky. And a course that is next door to many other golf courses, and several hundred golf courses that are possible to play here in Scotland at very affordable rates.
Yeah, we wanted to talk about that nexus of where you live. You know, Cruden Bay, Royal Aberdeen, Trump Aberdeen. You've got other places nearby. When we did our trip, you were the first one to tell me we got to go play Fraserburgh. We added it to the trip, and it was extraordinary. Just talk about that whole region and really why golfers who are planning their trip to Scotland should make that region part of any itinerary that they have.
Well, it's probably the forgotten region of Scotland. Obviously, everyone gravitates to St Andrews and the home of golf naturally, and the Open Rota doesn't come to the northeast of Scotland in the Aberdeen region. Therefore, people also gravitate to East Lothian and Carnoustie, these types of regions. But the northeast region came to notoriety really through Donald Trump's golf course, the Trump International course. A lot of more people are now aware of the destination, but before that, for decades before that, people did play Royal Aberdeen and they did come and play Cruden Bay, but the Trump course has really shone the spotlight on the lesser known golf courses, the ones that you mentioned there, Fraserburgh, one of the oldest golf courses in the world and a classic links golf course. Peterhead Golf Club, 18th oldest golf club in the world. Newborough, I know you guys enjoyed maybe a lesser known links golf course there also. Merkur Golf Links, host of the Paul Awdry match play just last year. So lots of great golf courses and a city as well. Not many golf, not many places in Scotland can you say that you can play golf in the city. And then actually Royal Aberdeen is within the Aberdeen city boundary. So that's kind of cool to play up against those cityscapes. So lots of choice, lots of history here and some great golf.
I think we were all stunned a little bit because we had mentioning, everybody tends to think of the more well-known courses, but it's certainly people would be remiss if they left out the places that we got to experience and that you mentioned. The people who are planning, and I know on the podcast, and certainly with Graylin being involved, because he's a big part of what he's doing too, is to help people who are planning trips. There's many ways to do it, but a lot of people, you know, they make requests about planning trips. Give us three things, and there's obviously more than that, but give us three things that you think golfers should think about when they're planning a trip to come and play, whether it's in the Highlands or anywhere else.
I think first off, you need to manage your own expectations. And I mean that in the fact that don't try and do too much. Of course, everybody wants to come to Scotland, and Scotland's lucky that it has, I think, the last, depending what list you look at, maybe 10, 12 top 100 golf courses in the world. And people see that, they look at a map and look at how small, how little they are distributed across the map, and think, well, we're going to try and do maybe six or seven of those. And that, for me, is a mistake. I mentioned the Aberdeen region. There you could base yourself for up to a week and enjoy golf and drive no further than 20, 30 minutes. So the rule of thumb there would be spend more time golfing and less time driving. So that's the real mistake. I don't know if you guys have a comment on that. You obviously went on, you had the services of Colin at Luxury Coach, and you had a great coach to drive you around, but there's some mileage to rack up between some of these great golf courses. But finding somewhere local and basing yourself in a town like Croom Bay, or a town like North Berwick, or a town like St Andrews, and really basing and having that as your base camp.
Obviously, we recommend doing it by bus. Colin Harris and his coach were just phenomenal when we were on the trip. And as a guy who, my first trip up to Trump, Scotland, I drove from Edinburgh. I would never want to do it again. I would always want to be in a coach and take it on a tour, because when you do have those long drives, it really helps with the camaraderie. It just helps with being able to relax and have a good time. But give us a couple other things, though, that people should think about as they're planning trips.
I would say maybe the second point is, and I know this is a question that you maybe have in your emergency nine, but we can maybe talk a bit more generally, is the length of golf courses. And, you know, a course that measures 6,400 yards might appear small in the scorecard, but as you two guys know, that the defense for these links golf courses is, of course, the weather. And even a 10-50 mile an hour wind can really make these golf courses testing for you. So I like to advise the listeners of the podcast and people that get in touch is to maybe look at leave the macho-ness at home and come to Scotland in search of birdies and not the sort of status quo of playing off the tips. So you know, play off the middle tees and try and enjoy it. The weather certainly is a defense out here, and that should be noted for guys that are planning trips.
It's funny you mentioned that, because when we played Merkur, we played the group that I was in. We played from the yellow tees, which were actually ahead, and we had a single who was playing just behind us, and he came rolled up to us on one of the tees and realized we were Americans, and he said to us, "You know, you're playing from the junior tees," and then he realized that we were playing with hickories, and thought to himself, you know, said out loud, he said, "Oh, I can see, you know, why you're doing it at that point." But even that course from the yellow tees or the gold tees was a true test with the wind blowing, and it was a lot of fun to play. And I think that's such a great point, that it doesn't really matter. The yardage is not why you're there. It's the experience.
Absolutely. And the third tip, sort of marrying all that together, would be always stay in towns. I'm not going to try and bash an individual company here, but there's a well-known hotel in St Andrews that sits on the hill of St Andrews, out with lovely five-star property. But the real energy and the ambience is within these old golf towns. To see guys walking along the street with their Jones golf bag on their shoulder and their golden Labrador, you know, walking to the golf course. That's my vision of Scotland, right? So, the real beauty I find is the golf towns, and trying to find yourself in these golf towns. It's easy to sort of migrate out of these towns, but you know, the likes of, as I said, Croom Bay, Dornoch, North Berwick, they're really special places that you won't see replicated anywhere else.
I think that's a great point, Ruan. We obviously get a quick hit on who you are. Clubs over your shoulder, dog next to you. I wish we could do that here. You know, I often I talk about it because I've been fortunate to play in places like Scotland and Sweden. Sweden is very big on letting dogs out on the course, not just like on Sunday at St. Andrews when it's a park, but I mean every day and you're constantly seeing people with their dogs, they're leashed to a pull cart or something else, but they're out on the golf course with you. And I know the three of us are dog humans, and I wish that we could do that more often. So it's a great point. Talk to us a little bit about, and I know Darren and I both feel this way, but we had such a great time with the mixture, and this to us, I think, is the greatness of Scotland. The mixture of the old and the new. You've, no place on the planet has the history and the tradition of the game, but the new courses that we experience now, which obviously you're aware of, is to us what kind of blew us away, that they seem to have been there forever, but people have done such a great job of combining the old and the new.
Absolutely. Some of my favorite golf courses are new golf courses, Castle Stewart for one, but I think that speaks for how golf, obviously golf began here in Scotland and how it's crossed shores. And some of the most well-known architects and the guys that you've had on the podcast, likes of David McLeay, Cade and the like, they've applied what they've seen in Scotland to courses around the world. And that's exciting for somebody who comments on Scottish golf and is looking for content to talk and write about. The ability to have these new projects that come along every few years, it's really exciting. And you'll know of a couple that are on the horizon potentially here, but three courses that are often on people's itineraries is the aforementioned Castle Stewart in the Highlands, which is perfect if you're looking to combine a trip to Royal Dornoch or Nairn. King's Barns, which is just, talk about a business model, that place is just ram-packed, and it's one of the most expensive green fees in Scotland, and located just 15 minutes from St Andrews. I know you guys had a chance to play that on a trip recently, but and then you of course have the Trump Aberdeen course here in the northeast of Scotland, along with Renaissance Club down in East Lothian. So lots of cool projects, and I think it's more for the architects that fell in love with the game, maybe on some scouting missions and having the fortune to apply that minimal architecture around the world, and certainly more people are investing money on these types of developments here in Scotland. So exciting times.
Rue, what's the status of the Arnold Palmer project at Castle Stewart?
I think it's there's not much going on that one. They've certainly laid out plans and they have the site ready. I think it's just a case of dotting the I's and crossing the T's on that one in terms of some environmental factors. For anyone that's familiar with Castle Stewart, they're looking to develop the land round about the castle. One thing that's missing about Castle Stewart throughout the round, with the exception of the par 3/4 hole, is the actual castle. So the plan is to create a second Arnold Palmer designed golf course around the castle, with the castle being a prominent feature throughout. And the course superintendent there, Chris Haspel, assures me that they have hopes to make that golf course an equal of the first course at Castle Stewart, which would be something, because that first course is quite, you know, one of my favourite golf courses in Scotland, and one that I don't think maybe gets the just rewards in some of these top 100 rankings.
And you stayed in, I remember following you, I think it was on Snapchat, you stayed in just a phenomenal place right there on the golf course, didn't you?
Yep, that's one of the castle lodges there on site at Castle Stewart, and it's in the shadows of the castle. So about a two-minute drive from the actual golf course. But they have a number of properties on site. They're not a stay-and-play offering per se, but the on-site lodging they do have really helps drive the revenue to the golf course. The golf course is the bread and butter for that property at the moment, but the hope of a second golf course would then turn that into a resort, and they would look to maybe develop the castle into some luxury accommodations as well. So some really exciting times for that area of Scotland, and they have everything there. They have a great airport, Inverness, which is literally next door, with flights from London across Europe. So they have good connections there for people to maybe make that your first or last stop, Castle Stewart.
Well, Darren and I would both obviously recommend the Highlands to anybody. And the idea that there's going to be kind of the continued explosion there, I know, excites both of us. Let's move a little bit to the West. Darren hasn't been to the West. I have before. It's been quite a while for me. But give us a couple of can't-miss courses on a trip to the west coast of Scotland that people might want to enjoy.
Well, the West Coast is probably a little bit more isolated, stands alone more, but is close to the major transport hubs of Glasgow and Edinburgh. That region is Ayrshire, and it's a great website to check out is Ayrshire Golf Scotland, the local destination management group there that promotes golf in that area of the world. But if you're looking for a real pilgrimage, and it's probably out with that boundary of Ayrshire, would be Macrahanish. Maybe you guys, you'll be familiar with it for sure, but maybe some of the listeners have heard of Macrahanish. Two golf courses there, one David McClay Kid course, which is a newly designed modern links, and of course the historic Tom Morris designed old course at Macrahanish. So, if you're going to ask me my favourite course in Scotland, Macrahanish Old would be in the top three for sure, and one that golfers have to visit once in their lifetime. It's golf as it was, 100 years ago, so one not to miss. But maybe in Ayrshire, I really like Prestwick. The history, the Open Championship, of course, had its first 10 years at Prestwick, home of Tom Morris for a portion of his career as well. And a course that really enjoys and celebrates the heritage of the Open, and they make a deal of celebrating that during a visitor's time there. So one definitely to check out and make a day of that. They offer a day ticket, which includes lunch, their famous lunch there. So certainly consider Prestwick.
Can I just throw in something quick, Darren?
Sure.
Prestwick St. Nicholas. How do you feel about when I went to Prestwick the first time? Somebody turned us on to Prestwick St. Nicholas and said, well, there's another course, it's kind of over there, and you might want to check it out because it's really interesting. And it was one of the highlights of my first trip to Scotland. I mean, I loved Prestwick Old is right up there for me. But Prestwick St. Nicholas is kind of a different experience with some of the most mind-boggling holes that I think I've ever played, and a lot of them short.
I think that just speaks for Scotland generally. Around every corner, there's a golf course that is forgotten about, and it's forgotten about not because it's not very good, but because the golf course next door to that is, revered around the world. So, a lot of these forgotten golf courses that offer so much, and that really speaks to what I was referring to in my first bit of advice was pace yourself in one region and find yourself time to discover these lesser-known golf courses that will offer, equal enjoyability to the other ones.
Yeah, definitely. Obviously, we're going to get to more of your favorites and talking about that in the Emergency Nine, but give us a couple other true hidden gems. And I wanted to ask you about a golf course that reached out to me on Instagram not long ago. Tell me a little bit about Royal Tarlair.
Royal Tarlair would sit just probably 50, 60 miles north of where I am. It's really on the right northeast corner of Scotland, pretty hard to get at, not far from Fraserburgh. It's a course that is dramatic in its setting on the edge of a cliff. You're walking sideways on the edge of a cliff. So if you picture Old Head in Ireland, maybe that on a lesser scale, but a course that has the scenery and one to consider if you're visiting Fraserburgh. But along that coastline, you've got so many great golf courses. Entirely would just be one of maybe 10 that you could check out. So it's just giving yourself time to see them all.
Yeah, I've seen some pictures of one of the par threes there. It looks like it just basically drops off into the ocean, and it's quite extraordinary, the picture of it.
And you asked me some of my other favorites. You mentioned Brora at the top of the show there. If you don't go to Brora when you're up seeing Royal Dornoch, you're making a huge mistake. In fact, if I could go back to my three bits of advice, number two or three would be, make sure you go to Brora when you visit Royal Dornoch. It's just, again, golf. If you think about the people listening, if they're thinking about Scotland's as much about a cultural experience as it is a golfing one. So when you come to Scotland, you enjoy the golf courses. You're actually getting a cultural experience around the game of golf in a way that you would never get anywhere else. So you're walking with sheep and farm animals, and you're playing the game alongside working class people. It's a sport that's accessible to us all. So it's really a cultural experience, which is summed up perfectly at Brora, a really remote, rural feeling to the place, but a really quality golf course at the end of it.
Well, I can't, that is so true. We talked about it a lot when we were over there, and I think if we could get everybody as a youngster to go over to Scotland and visit, so that they get a sense of it as they continue to play the game. I think it would be a huge boon. We keep talking about growing the game. To me, let's send everybody to Scotland. That's what I get. Rue, I don't think there's anybody better to promote the game than you. And I really mean that. I think your knowledge at a young person age, as they call you over there, is extraordinary, and your ability to pass it on to all of us is much appreciated. So thanks for being with us on this episode. We've got your Emergency 9 coming up, and we look forward to that as well. But thanks for joining us for the Scotland Week podcast.
Cheers, guys. Look forward to reviewing my Emergency 9.
You can find Rue at Scott Golf Podcast and at Rue McDonald. That's RUMACDONALD. On Twitter, you can listen to the Scottish Golf Podcast on iTunes or go to the great website again, scottishgolfpodcast.com. And Darren, what a treat it's been. Every time we get to talk about the place we love, it's a thrill.
Oh, it's been a blast. And we also have to thank our sponsor for this episode, Pacific Gales, on the Oregon coast. For more information about the Pacific Gales Founders Club and playing a lifetime of links golf here in the States, if you don't happen to be in Scotland, visit pacificgales.com. That's G-A-L-E-S. And don't forget to follow at Pacific Gales on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook.
Thanks for that, D. And of course, you can hit us up on Twitter, Darren at Getaways Golf, me at Mitch Lawrence, L-A-U-R-A-N-C-E. Use the hashtags Talking Golf Getaways, hashtag Emergency 9, and of course, the growing in popularity, hashtag Two Haggis Bags, which is what Darren and I proudly call ourselves. If you enjoy the show, Talking Golf Getaways, don't hesitate to share us on your social media. You can rate us on iTunes and help us spread the word about the best in golf travel. Thanks for being with us as we once again go to Scotland. Until next time, like Tom Petty says, keep running down the dream. So long.